Okay, you might want to get close to your radio.
My deal is we can have an honest conversation where both sides have some issues.
I love it.
I want to officially welcome you to News One Now with Roland Martin.
I'm Roland Martin. Today on News One Now, I'm broadcasting live from New York. And Sigma Alpha Epsilon member at Oklahoma University now says he's sorry for his racist chant. Also, cops gone wild. We'll show you a video of Michigan cops beating the hell out of a black man who all he simply did was get out of the car. The House called Dr. Spokes there in town. They're in the House with their five top tips for surviving seasonal spring allergies. You know we all need to pay attention to that. Also, are U.S. students up to par in the search for careers on a global level? We'll have that story coming up. Also, we bring you some of the crazy stories trending in the news on What the Hell? All that and more coming up right now on News One Now. Folks, right here on News One Now, we have been covering these amazing, crazy stories of cops gone wild. And now we have another video of a black man being beaten by police, this time in Detroit. This video is from January 28th, when 57-year-old Floyd Dent ran a traffic sign. Check this out. All right, so here's the deal. You're watching the video right here, and you see the cops. They got the gun. Okay, they pull him out of the car. He's not resisting arrest. All of a sudden, one of the cops begins to put him in a chokehold. Then he begins to pummel him in the head, hitting him 16 times while the other cop tries to handcuff him. Now a third cop comes up. He hits him with the taser 3 times. Now you have five cops on the scene, and look at the guy. He's bloodied, bleeding from his head. They pulled him out of a car. It was a traffic sign. That's all it was. Talk about making no sense at all. Let's go to our panel. Dr. Avis Jones-DeWeaver, leadership strategist. Dr. Jason Johnson, professor of political science at Hiram College, as well as Gilda Daniels, associate professor, University of Baltimore School of Law. Gilda, I want to go to you first. This is stunning. You're watching this video, and for all the people out there who continue to insist, look, it's just a few bad apples. This is a perfect example, again, where cops having total control, losing their minds, beating the hell out of this guy.
Hey, good morning, Roland. Good morning, Roland. I think we hear this every day, don't we? It's happening over and over and over again, these issues of police misconduct. And we really have to start thinking about what is it that we're training our cops to do, right? Do they understand how to, I mean, this, as you said, this is a simple traffic stop. Running through a red light is not an offense that means that you should be taken out of your car, pulled out of your car, and beaten and tased. So what is it? You know, they have this mentality of excessive force, right? Using that force is always the answer. So we certainly need to look at how we're training our cops in regards to how they're stopping, and even in these simple traffic stops.
Jason, the guy gets out. The guy, first of all, he's pulled out of the car. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you don't see in the video, or you don't even hear where he's refusing to get out of the car, anything along those lines. But really, do you approach somebody in a car, guns drawn, because they ran a traffic sign?
Not unless you're Tamir Rice, or not unless they're talking about Martise Johnson, or not unless we're talking about the dozens and dozens of people that we've actually seen over the last 18 months who are suffering this way. And I'll be perfectly honest with you. It's about time that we start being very honest about accountability of these police officers. They are costing people money. These are millions of dollars in suits and settlements that are going to be handed out to all of these people who have suffered. And it's about time that people start recognizing it's about the government failing to protect citizens and stop coming up with excuses for idiot cops.
Avis, this is what I don't understand. It makes no sense to me, okay? So typically what you will find is, and again, I personally don't see police brutality as a liberal or conservative thing, Republican or Democratic thing. But the reality is you typically are going to have liberals and progressives who are going to be calling out police, and you're going to have conservatives defending police officers. To Jason's point, I would think fiscal conservatives would be mad as hell with the amount of money cities are having to spend settling lawsuits. And so you would think they would be saying, wait a minute, let's get these cops under control, because it's running into the millions of dollars in Detroit, in Chicago, in New York, in Philadelphia, small towns, big cities, where taxpayers are funding these police abuse settlements.
You're right. I mean, let's be very real about this. Fiscal conservatives are very selective in their outrage. They weren't that crazy about what's going on with the president trying to get our economy back in line, but when Bush was in there spending money all willy-nilly, they had nothing to say. And so the same sort of principle holds true here. They're not really saying much about this, and they don't really have a problem with people getting beat down and abuses occurring when it's black people that are being killed and black people that are being abused. And beyond the fiscal problems with this, an extended version of that tape, reports say, actually show the cops planting drugs in his car. These are criminal activities, and I'm telling you, I'm not satisfied with a few settlements. I won't be satisfied until these cops are in jail where they belong.
Well, again, what we are seeing is we are just cops gone wild across this country, and it's shameful, and it is utterly ridiculous. And speaking of shameful and ridiculous, Levi Pettit, student at the University, well, former student at the University of Oklahoma, was caught on camera chanting a racist slur. He is now apologizing. Yesterday, there was a news conference in Oklahoma City where he met with a variety of black leaders there, and Pettit expressed remorse for his actions.
There are no excuses for my behavior. I'm so sorry for all the pain that I've caused, and I want you all to know that directly from me. Although I don't deserve it, I want to ask for your forgiveness.
All right, so I got to ask you guys on the panel, do you really care about Levi Pettit's apology? Do you really care about his apology tour, standing with black leaders there in Oklahoma, now talking about how it was shameful? Because let's just be honest, if Levi Pettit had not been busted on this video, he would not be apologizing. He would be still a member of the University of Oklahoma. He would still be in the frat. They would still have their frat house. They would still have their charter.
Look, Roland, I got to be honest with you. As somebody who teaches 20-year-olds, I could care less that this guy apologized one way or another. He got caught. He's racist. He sang a song about killing black people for the color of their skin. While I don't think it's fair that the school got rid of him, because she didn't get rid of anybody for what they say, it's clearly fine they could have kicked him out for being drunk underage. I'm glad he got kicked out of the fraternity. And I'm sick and tired of black folk coming to the defense of people who do this kind of behavior and being used as props. I'm tired of that.
That is so, I, as upset as I am with him, I kind of understand it, because he's trying to get back into the good graces of his university. He's trying to sort of do some damage control at this point. But the people behind him, there is freaking no excuse for that. Let's be very real about this. I am so tired of Negroes standing there giving white racists cover for their racist actions. We have to have some accountability for actions that take place. And unless we can get rid of all of these shuffling folks who find it very easy to stand behind white people who all of a sudden are very contrite about their racist actions, we will never get the respect, quite frankly, that we deserve. Why should we expect other people to respect us when we don't even respect ourselves enough to hold other people accountable when they provide such outrageous actions against us?
Well, I agree that we certainly need to get rid of this kind of take me to your leader mentality, that when people actually, you know, commit racist acts, that they need only go to an African American minister or elected official and say, I'm so sorry, I did something bad. I think we certainly need to get away from that, because we're talking about much deeper issues here. And we're talking about a culture, right? And we're talking about how at this university, this was allowed to continue. And I think, and it's not just this fraternity, right? It's happening not just at this school, but it's certainly a mentality that it's okay to say these things and have this type of culture on campuses across the country.
Right.
All right, folks, hold tight 1 second. I got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Supreme Court dealing with Alabama redistricting. Also, the folks marching from Selma to Montgomery, they're on their way to the nation's capital. We'll have that next. Also, are you one of the 18 million adults who suffer from spring allergies? Have no fear. The Urban House Call doctors will be here with their 5 tips on how to make you feel better. Also, what do U.S. students need in order to compete against students abroad in careers? We'll talk about that. Plus, it's What the Hell Thursday. You know, we got some straight ignorant news, like a Florida man busted for trying to sell iguanas. Seriously. 9 after the hour, News 1 Now on TV 1.
So you want the truth? Well, we got it.
That's how I talk. God knows it. I'm just straight.
It's News One Now with Roland Martin.
Supreme Court strikes a serious blow to a Republican redistricting plan in Alabama that crammed black voters into urban districts so their votes wouldn't have much impact in other areas of the state. The court's decision comes on the heels of the 50th anniversary of the march from Selma to Montgomery. Yesterday in Montgomery, thousands of people concluded a modern-day march that retraced the historic route in 1965. Of course, that was the historic Selma to Montgomery march, and it concluded with Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. with his speech there in the state capitol from the Capitol steps. This is a issue because also Alabama is the flashpoint for the Supreme Court decision 2 years ago that struck down Section 4 of the Voting Rights Act. And there's a call for this Congress to restore those rights. There's a bill being co-sponsored by Republican Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner of Wisconsin, as well as Congressman John Conyers from Michigan. But the GOP, they have not stepped up and gotten behind that particular bill. Joining us from Skype via Montgomery is State Senator and Minority Leader Quentin Ross, and of course our panel still there in D.C., Dr. Avis Jones-Dweaver, Dr. Jason Johnson, as well as Gilda Daniels, and I'm of course broadcasting live from 30 Rock in New York. Senator Ross, I want to go to you first, and that is the Supreme Court decision is critically important because we see this all across the South. We see this where what Republican legislatures have done, and let's also be honest, in the past, we've seen it with some Democratic legislatures, where in an effort to sort of have these super majorities of African American elected to Congress, they will basically take this map and it'll be like a snake, and they'll try to find every black voter to put them in this congressional district that simply doesn't make sense because they don't want black voters being able to impact these other seats. Isn't this a fundamental problem we have in this country when it comes to gerrymandering?
It is, and of course, Alabama is a flagship for that type of activity. And of course, the Supreme Court decision coming down on yesterday, the 25th, was poetic justice in my mind. As we finish the last leg of the commemoration of the Voting Rights March from Selma to Montgomery. But it sends the message, it signals to those states that have taken the supermajority, the Republican supermajority, that we are going to have to really look closely at the way that they have gerrymandered these districts. District 26, which I represent in Montgomery, is one that is mentioned often in the court case as well as his decision. I enjoy a 55 to 65% African American population, but during the redistricting, I now enjoy maybe 75, almost 80% African American.
Wow.
Basically, which renders individuals in other districts almost helpless in terms of being able to impact the outcome of elections. And I would like to think as an elected official that I could appeal, you know, because in the elections it's 50 plus one. But I think that I have the ability to represent across all lines individuals and win an election without such a healthy majority.
Jason, this is a fundamental issue that we're seeing because this is really about the diluting of power. And that is, there's this whole view in terms of, well, you know, how African Americans are going to vote, the impact they could actually have. It is a fundamental issue that we have. And I think it also, Cornell Belcher talks about this here.
Right.
African Americans also have to realize this impacts, even if you have Hispanics in a district, because folks say, well, we want a black member of Congress, but if the districts are being packed, you actually are lessening your power.
Yes.
Because you can only vote in one congressional district or one state senatorial district when you could actually impact 5, 6, 10 different seats.
First off, I want to compliment the state senator for being so candid. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are certain members, representatives, who would say, no, just give me a district that's 85% black folks. So I want to congratulate him for actually believing in American democracy and how it's supposed to function one way or another. And Roland, I completely agree with you. Not only is this an issue of diluting African-American votes, but this is also a challenge to us that when these districts get broken up, we got to turn out and vote. We got to influence things like we did in the Senate race in Arkansas. We have to influence things like we did in Tennessee when Cohen got elected. This is an opportunity for African Americans to flex our political muscle at a time where the South is still changing demographically.
Avis and Gilda.
That's exactly right. And I would have to say that, you know, we are voting more. If you look at what's going on right now in terms of voting turnout, black people are quite frankly leading the nation in the last couple of elections. And we are really outpacing other communities of color by a long mark, especially black women leading the nation in terms of voting turnout. And so I think that really, that's really the reason why we're seeing this hyper actions on the part of Republicans in terms of trying to consolidate the power. They know that they're losing the demographic race, not only in Alabama, but in other states across the nation. Texas and Georgia, for example, are going to be flipping pretty soon. They're no longer going to be solidly red states in terms of the demographics of the states. And so what they're trying to do is to figure out how can we dilute the voting power of communities of color. We're going to do it by making it difficult for people to get IDs and requiring people to have IDs. We're going to do it by creating these crazy gerrymandered districts. And I'm so happy to see that for once, the Supreme Court got it right.
Well, I think certainly I was very afraid that the Supreme Court would get it wrong, but they did get it right in this instance, because we are talking about racial gerrymandering and how the Alabama legislature actually packed black voters into a few districts so that they could not use their voting strength in other districts. And it certainly was good for Republicans in that these districts are very, very Democratic. But we will see in some states like Alabama and also North Carolina where the Democratic caucus will soon only be the black caucus,
right,
because they have not allowed other voters to be dispersed in throughout the district. So instead of cracking districts, they are packing districts. That's what Republicans tend to do, but Democrats tend to crack the districts in distributing them so sparsely that you can also lose your voting strength as well. I live in Maryland, where we have a district that goes through quite a number of counties, right? So that can increase the Democratic voting strength, not the black voting strength. And I do think that black voters, we all need to look at how this affects black voting power.
Senator Ross, the Supreme Court sent it back to review. And so what's the next step for you and folks there in Alabama?
Well, listen, Roland, I had the opportunity, along with the then chairman of the Legislative Black Caucus, Senator Bobby Singleton, to listen to the oral arguments on this in this case. We left the Supreme Court, kind of uncertain of what our future would be. But to our surprise and jubilation, they sent this case back to the district courts here, where I had the opportunity to testify. But they've said that they need to go back and look at these claims more closely as we look at what has happened throughout the state of Alabama. And I think the last speaker said it best, that what we've done is rendered the Democratic Party somewhat limited to a black party. In the state Senate, we have 8 Democrats and we have one white Democrat, which is Senator Billy Beasley. And so on the House side, we may have 5 members in the House of Representatives that are white Democrats. And so there was a method to the madness. And I think what's going to have to happen is we're going to have to go back to the drawing board because of the deviation that they used, which was a strict deviation, the 1% deviation. When we could have used a 5% deviation and really got a better looking map. So,
Senator Ross, first of all, I'll say this here. To me, this is not a Democratic or Republican question. What it is, though, that even when you have those districts that might elect a Republican, this still limits the power of African-American voters for those individuals representing those constituencies. So we'll keep following this case. We certainly appreciate it, Senator Ross. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, folks, coming up on News One Now, tired of sneezing and wheezing during gardening or golf? The Urban House Call Doctors are here with the top 5 things you need to make it through algae season. Also, are foreign students better equipped for jobs on a global level than their American counterparts? We'll break it down. 22 after the hour, News One Now on TV One.
Your centerpiece for black thoughts in America.
I don't bend, I don't break.
It's News One Now with Roland Martin.
All right, folks, welcome back to News One Now. I'm broadcasting live today from 30 Rock. And it was, when I got here yesterday, it was like 35, 40 degrees, rainy and windy. It was utterly miserable. It's supposed to be 60 degrees today in New York. Shelly, give me a shot of D.C., the capital right there, for our audience. And so you see in the nation's capital as well, you can see right now, how it looks there. It's gray, overcast, something along those lines. The weather is changing, and so we're getting warm in certain spots and others as well. And so we're working through all of these different looks. So what happens if you're one of the 18 million adults with spring allergies? You might be rubbing your itchy eyes and sneezing and all that sort of stuff, and you're going, oh my God, look what's about to happen. And so how do we deal with it? Well, joining us right now, the Urban House Doctors, Dr. Carla and Dr. Rob. How y'all doing?
Hey, Roland.
Doing wonderful.
Glad to have you on the show. And of course, my sneezing, itching panel is still with me as well, dealing with, because we all deal with it. And here's what's crazy. And so a lot of people don't even realize they have allergies. All of a sudden, it just hits you. And you think, so here's the thing that really jumps out at me. How do I know I don't have a cold, but I got allergies?
And that's actually an excellent question, Roland, because a lot of these symptoms do overlap. And so, for example, with both cold and allergy symptoms, you may have itchy eyes, you may have a runny nose, you may have a sore throat, cough, even sneezing. The big distinction is that typically with cold, you may also have associated symptoms of fever or body aches, which you should not have if it's simply allergy. So that's the biggest distinction that we need to make. And then also recognizing if those symptoms came on after some certain exposure, whether it was environmental, being outside, in the lawn, doing grass, things of that nature. So that's the big distinction between the allergy symptoms and cold symptoms.
All right then. So, all right, so y'all got some props there on the set. And tell Jason they're not toys. So let me sit here and my eyes get wide.
So, already?
That's right. So, Dr. Carla, yes. You've got something there that can help folks when it comes to allergy season. What you got?
We do. We've got the top five things that anyone can use to survive this allergy season. The first one is a towel. And we use this as a reminder to really tell people to shower.
A towel?
A towel. Yes. And it's a reminder to really shower after you've been outdoors or after you've been exposed to allergens. And people don't think about this. They've been outside, they've been having a picnic or doing sports, and
right.
Then they come back in the house and they go lay down in their bed. Now they're rubbing
You've been outside. If you've been outside doing some garden work and playing sports, and you come lay your funky behind in the bed, you need your behind work.
Not everyone has your hygiene practices.
That's right.
So recognize that there are some that do that.
And people just don't think about it. You know, they don't think that there are allergens now in their hair that they haven't washed out. So it's really a good reminder to remember that you're carrying those very same allergens you were exposed to outside with you indoors. So it's always a good idea to shower after you've been exposed.
Is that a teapot I see? What's that?
Now, that's actually what's called a neti pot, okay?
Oh, no, trust me, I use that because, my God, whether it's that or even the sinus bottle, because, man, look, that will get all that muck out of your sinus
system. It's a lifesaver.
Absolutely,
yes.
Absolutely. And for first-time users, you might be surprised at how much muck, as you put it, Roland, will come out. But certainly, this is something that has huge benefits in treating those who suffer from allergies. It really does flush out those sinus passages. It flushes those allergens out so that you're not having long-lasting effects of your allergen exposure. So this is key. Now, the one thing I do recommend is that you follow the directions closely. You don't want to use tap water necessarily, or if you do, you want to first boil it, let it cool off. Don't use boiling water. Let it cool off first, and then add the solution that comes with the neti pot to it. It's a salt water saline solution, and it really does wonders in terms of rinsing those allergens out of your nasal passages.
I know my panel there got some questions. Y'all go ahead.
Yeah, I gotta ask this. So, you know, in my household growing up, we had pets, mm-hmm. right? How do you keep your dog mm-hmm. from bringing in all the, I mean, because it's one thing for me to shower down. I don't want to shower my dog every single time it comes in the house.
Yeah.
That becomes a problem in and of itself.
Yes.
So how do you keep pets, cats, whatever it is,
and
you know, from bringing stuff in?
It's tough. It really is tough because a lot of people are allergic to the actual pet dander, which is, you know, for cats, it can even be the saliva. For dogs, a lot of times it's the fur and the scales that come off.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's tough. And so for a lot of allergy sufferers, sometimes we have to break the tough news. You know, Fido may have to go.
Well, What if he brings in like pollen? Like that's what I'm thinking. Like pets bring in pollen
they
in a
do.
Way that regular
they
people
absolutely
don't.
Do. Right. And the only way to really control that is to bathe them.
Is it, wow. Is it important to know what you're allergic to? Because it, whether it's a dog or pollen or an oak tree, I mean,
yes,
it's important to get tested?
It is. Now, we don't necessarily recommend testing for the average person. A lot of people we know have environmental allergies. They're allergic to trees or grass or what have you. It's only in those severe cases where we're having trouble controlling the symptoms that we really recommend true allergy testing so we can identify the and limit the exposures.
My son actually was tested, and he's basically allergic to everything except cockroaches.
Wow.
And I don't plan to have a pet cockroach.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, you know, what sort of suggestions do you give for people who, like him, are like hyper allergic to everything all year round? It's just not limited to quote unquote allergy season.
Yeah, and that's an excellent question. And certainly there are those individuals who do have a wide spectrum of things that they're allergic to. As best you can, avoidance. Now, obviously, that's not going to be very practical when he has year-long allergies, but certainly taking certain prophylactic measures, using the steroid nasal sprays, maybe taking a daily antihistamine to help cut down on those symptoms, and then doing some of the other things that we talked about as well when he does get exposure to those allergens, bathing, you know, when he comes inside, taking his shoes off. I remember my grandmother had the plastic-covered sofa.
Yeah.
Who knew that that was actually a really good way to cut down on allergens?
Wow.
Hey, Grandma knew
what
she was talking about.
No, you're not going to bring that back. Listen, Roland, I'm sending you a plastic cover for your sofa.
No,
make sure you get one, all right?
All right, you're going to need a doctor if you do that. All right, we are out of time. The Urban House Call, Urban House Call Doctors, we appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Where can people get more tips from y'all on allergies and other health issues?
Thanks, Roland. They can always follow us on Twitter at Urban House Call and also on Facebook, Urban House Call Magazine. UrbanHouseCall.com
right.
as well.
Yeah, but y'all keep that damn plastic. All right. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
All
folks,
right.
Coming up, do U.S. students need to speak a foreign language in order to compete for jobs on a global level? We'll talk about that in a few minutes. And later on What the Hell Thursday, a woman pole dancing with a baby. Pole dancing with a baby. What the hell is wrong with her? Hit me up with your thoughts on Twitter at News 1 or at Roland S. Martin. 26 before top of the hour, News 1 Now on TV 1.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin. Roland Martin.
Folks, there's been a lot of concern in educational circles about the ability of American students to compete for careers on a global level. And so how do we get our students to do so? Because here's what happens in this country. We assume that all the jobs are going to be in the United States. We assume that the rest of the world all is trying to come to the United States, when in fact, you have a significant number of people who are leaving the United States and going to other countries. Joining us to talk about this, School of Information Systems and Technology, Morgan State University's Jackie Jones. Jackie, how you doing?
Roland, how are you?
Good seeing you. She's the chair of the Department of Multimedia Journalism and Technology. Also, University of Phoenix Executive Dean Dennis Bonilla on Skype. Dennis, how you doing? Okay, so we're trying to figure out what's going on with that, with the audio there. Well, I'm going to start with you, Jack, and of course, my panel is still there as well. Jackie, this is a major, major issue here, and that is getting American students to understand that when it comes to jobs, it might require them to leave our borders. You got to be prepared for that.
Absolutely. I think that the main thing starts at home, though. I see at Morgan all the time students who are homebodies, but they don't want to be far from their families. They don't want to travel far afield. And their parents hold them back. And so a lot of times when we have open house at Morgan, I tell the parents, you got to let them go. Otherwise, they'll be in your basement the rest of their lives. And so that usually gets them going. But the students have to understand that the world is much broader than their backyard. And when you have, especially with urban universities, students who are not well traveled, may not have had opportunities to go out of their region, much less out of the country, it takes a while to warm them up to the task.
Now, Jackie, you came out from Trinidad as well as Hong Kong, and so, I mean, you're actually seeing this. I mean, also there are people who work for consulting groups and other companies where their job is going to take them to other countries around the world. And so what are you advising people? Should they be learning foreign languages? Should they be boning up when it comes to different cultures and how they operate?
Absolutely, absolutely. I always tell students, especially high school students, when we're recruiting, to make sure you have a passport and that you're learning a second language. And often people assume that it has to be Spanish, but it doesn't. It just has to be a second language because it can be useful anywhere. I tell them to read things that they're not comfortable with, put themselves in situations that take them out of their comfort zone so that they can learn how to adjust to any situation that crops up. And here at Morgan, we especially push the students to try different things, and we send them abroad. We are planning to take a couple of students to Cuba this summer. We're going to do partnerships with other universities to have foreign reporting programs. So we're pushing them out there, so they're going to go whether they initially planned it or not, but they understand that that's just part of the curriculum, and I think that that's important for schools too.
We still have the picture of Dean, but we have some audio issues, so we have him by phone. Is he there, Dennis? Is Dennis okay? Our panel, you've got some questions as well on this issue. And Jason, you teach at a college there, Hiram College. I mean, you know, this is something that American students are going to have to get used to. We are living in a global world.
Well, this is one of the things that I wanted to ask the dean here as well. You know, Hiram College, we always say intimate learning, global reach. We literally changed the semester system at Hiram to a 3-week so that more of our students could go abroad. Because one of the problems is it's expensive to go for a whole semester. Semester, but you can go during the 3 weeks. One of the reasons that we have such a high number of students who can go. What do you guys do, or what are some suggestions for students who might want to go abroad, or families who want to send their kids abroad, but they can't do 15 weeks because some of the internships abroad are unpaid?
Exactly, exactly. Well, what we're doing, a couple of things. We're looking into online learning, which is a great opportunity for students. I just got back from Trinidad doing some meetings with the University of the West Indies, and we're working on a course. We'll do offer a joint history of Caribbean media. So we'll have students from our school interacting by Skype. We have a global conference room, so that's always an option. Shorter trips. I was with a group of students from Penn State in Hong Kong and mainland China, and they spent the semester preparing stories and coverage, and then they went and met the sources on site in Hong Kong for a week. So those, and that's cheaper,
you know? Right.
But fundraising is the key. I mean, all universities now, even schools like Penn State, have to get out and raise their own money for these kinds of opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Dennis is on the phone here. Dennis, do we have you? We finally have you?
I'm on the phone.
So Dennis, this is a critical issue in terms. So how do you see this in terms of getting the next generation of students to understand that it's not just about what's happening here in America?
Well, you know, the global talent crisis is in every country, and you know, in order to solve the competitiveness issue for most of the emerging countries and the developed countries, there's going to have to be an evolution of talent that really understands the global needs. And that includes what you were just talking about, you know, this whole issue around cultural diversity and the sensitivity to cultural diversity. When I was at Microsoft, you know, we had teams that were from 148 countries, so you had to understand how to be able to work with teams around the world at different hours of the day, how to collaborate with them, how to communicate with them, how to be sensitive to the cultural needs. So it's just a real evolution of a need that really is not going to be able to just be handled as to, you know, being American centric. It's got to be a global centric sort of mindset.
And Dennis, what are you doing in terms of, I mean, as I asked Jackie the question, are you encouraging folks to learn a foreign language? You know, what skills are you telling students they must have to compete in a global economy?
There are five things that we talk about. The first thing is around understanding cultural sensitivity. The second thing is a second language is absolutely essential. It doesn't have to be Spanish, like you said, Mandarin, Chinese, but really having a second language as a backup to your primary language. The third is really understanding how to collaborate, how to work in teams, how to work in distributed teams that are, you know, you're not going to be able to see them face to face. You're going to probably be working through them like we're doing now, either on Skype or FaceTime. You're going to have communication skills that are excellent. You're not going to be able to just sort of meander through a conversation. You're going to have communication skills they're excellent. And the last thing is you're going to have to know how to do managing projects. You have to be able to understand schedule and time management and cost management and project management. And those five skills will really get you, you know, really at the top of the game in terms of an international or a global talent.
All right, then. University of Phoenix Executive Dean Dennis Bonilla. We certainly appreciate it. Thanks a bunch. And, of course, Morgan State's Jackie Jones. Thank you very much as well. And, of course, our panel, Avis Jones-Dweaver, Jason Johnson, as well as Gilda, the law professor this, over there. And Gilda, seriously, yes, please, next time, I'm glad you're there. Keep Jason in line.
Yes, sir, I'll try.
I'm going to just cause trouble.
He gets a little extra. All right. Coming up next on News 1 Now, singer Tracy Braxton, Tony Reyes, and Mr. Ray join us for What the Hell Thursday. You know how ridiculous that is. It is 14 before top of the hour. News 1 Now on TV 1.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now with your host, Roland Martin.
All right, folks, every Thursday we have What the Hell Thursday with crazy stories from all across the internet trending around the world. Joining us today, we have radio personality Mr. 24/7 Tony Reds. We have singer, reality television star. She's a TV star? I didn't know that. Okay. Tracy Braxton. We have WeTV digital correspondent, Mr. Ray. And so, Tracy, I'm not in the studio. Is that orange? Is that red? I'm sorry. What's the color today?
It's really?
Kool-Aid.
What? And I'm just asking. Kool-Aid. I didn't use Kool-Aid this time.
Burnt
Kool-Aid
orange.
Red.
I'm just asking.
I use a professional color.
Is what red?
It's highlights. It's different color reds.
Oh,
it's sexy,
okay,
though,
well,
right? Yeah, right.
Nice wig. All right. I've heard of mother-daughter activities, but mom and daughter pole dancing? Ashley Wright pole dances regularly while her 2-year-old daughter is on her back and doesn't think that anything is wrong with it.
What?
What the hell is up with that?
Okay.
So seriously. I mean,
right there. Shaking baby syndrome.
Seriously.
Right. Shaking baby syndrome,
wow,
right there when she dipped over like that.
Yeah.
Infamil,
wow,
all on her neck.
Well, they say train the child in the way you want them to be in
what
real life.
In the world?
From the daycare to the strip pole.
Right. But she using a baby leg. Look, she using a baby leg on the pole. Can we discuss?
I don't understand. I mean, that makes no sense to me. I mean, the baby is dizzy.
Well, yeah.
The baby going to have some kind of head trauma.
The baby is not going to be right for the rest of her life.
Man, that baby's stripping for Gerber. She's right. Stripping for Gerber coupons.
You know what? Seriously? Seriously, I mean, pole dancing with your baby on your back. Okay. All I want to know is, where's the daddy?
Huh? He probably on M Street.
Oh, no.
He's probably at Chippendale.
He's videotaping.
He probably was
videotaping. Yes. Yeah, he was videotaping. All right, hold on. A Florida man was charged with cruelty to animals, and you'll never guess why. Jeremy Dugas, 35, was busted in Key West in front of the Banana Cafe on Tuesday after he allegedly tried to sell a woman an iguana to cook for dinner. This fool caught 3 huge yellow iguanas, duct taped them to the handlebars on his bike, and went around town trying to sell them as fresh meat.
What the hell?
Y'all,
he was probably trying to get his own reality show. He was trying to off the Gator Boys.
But what does it taste? Is it spicy?
I don't know what it
iguana
tastes like. Nobody
it's
wants
green.
To
eat.
Don't it have a lot of bacteria in it?
Are you really asking us what an iguana
citrusy
tastes like for real?
You Southern. You might have
Southeast.
That.
I don't.
Really?
We don't eat iguana in Southeast. We don't eat iguana
like
where I'm from.
Yes, y'all do.
Absolutely not. Absolutely.
Y'all know.
Absolutely not.
Along with some turtle in it.
Absolutely.
Turtle.
I don't quite understand.
Absolutely.
No. But see, I'm not stuck on selling the iguanas. I'm stuck on duct taping them to the bike.
He had it whole time.
He about to get some years for animal cruelty.
Yeah, but like that.
All right. Let me ask you out this here. What usually happens when someone gives you a gift that you're not going to use? Do what I do. You throw the hell out. All right. Joseph Gary CEO from Burnsville, Minnesota, was so angry he knocked on the neighbor's door and demanded the cutlery set he had given them back. When the neighbor agreed to get it and tried to close the door, he stuck his foot and snatched the gift, then went home. Gary Sia was charged with felony burglary and could be facing 10 years in prison and $20,000 in fines. Dude, really?
Right.
Really?
Who's an Indian giver these days?
Why is he coming
really
to your house?
Hold on 1 second. You gonna give me my knives back? You ain't see you cut no apples. I ain't see you cut no fruit. I ain't see you cut no vegetables. I want my damn knives back.
Y'all ain't.
I mean, did his knives go dull all of
a
sudden?
He needed a new set of knives.
My man was upset.
Yes.
He was like, he was probably trying to throw new knife throwing stuff in the back. His little beard, his little chin. Right.
Mine's all dull.
His little block chin self.
Right.
Chin
I don't understand. I don't understand how you give somebody a gift and you get mad. And then, all right, I want my knives back. What happened? His knives went dull?
Yes, it was dull.
Hey, Roland, can you took it back to Golden Child. I want my knives.
Please. All right. Y'all hold tight 1 second. I got to go to a break, and Tracy got to fix her weed during the break. I'm going to Martin. News 1 Now, TV 1.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number 2, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now. With Roland Martin. Roland Martin.
All right, folks, we're back with Mr. Ray, Tracy Braxton, and Tony Redd's there in D.C. I'm broadcasting live today from 30 Rock in New York. Glad to be here. All right, how far would you go to drive the HOV lane? One man used a cardboard cutout of the Dos Equis. Is it Equis? Is it Equis?
Oh, my God.
Dos Equis? You know, Dos Wiki, whatever. the most interesting man in the world. He's a lie. That's me. That was his passenger. A cardboard cutout as his passenger. He put a sweater and a seatbelt on it, then drove to work and was busted by cops because the face was so recognizable. Dude, you don't use somebody who you don't know. Really?
Well, you know, he probably called Fathead. He's like, look, I'm tired of paying and sitting in traffic.
Right, right.
He went on Fathead.com.
Oh, my God.
See,
you could have put a picture of Tony in there, put a wig on it, and then be like, that's my sister. And get away through.
Right.
He might have put you right. On
the phone. No, but see,
you
know what? Because he was a white man. They ain't going to stop.
They
ain't going to stop me.
What he should have done was he should have gotten a coat cut out of Tony Redd's because don't nobody know Tony.
Oh. Roll wait a minute, Roland. Your little hair looking spacious, Roland. You better slow down a little bit.
All right, then.
Barbershop now.
Okay. You're gonna be riding your bike with those iguanas duct taped back to the radio station.
Man, you're a wild dude.
Just because I'm in New York, don't think I'm gonna crack on you.
You look like a football player, right?
Hey, I look good today, Roland.
You look like a football player.
I look good. I went and bought this new vest and everything.
He got a new vest. Wait a minute.
That's right. A brand new vest.
And it matches his tie.
Absolutely.
Wow.
That's right. Because you talked about me so bad the last time we was on here, I took my Macy's car and I went down and I asked the lady.
Not the Macy's.
That's right. I'm balling on a budget. Working radio.
Everybody who's watching, you can tell Tony has never worn real clothes. He's constantly going,
absolutely.
He's constantly, right. He's constantly touching
right.
Himself.
You absolutely all right. Right. Thanks.
Sunday right here on TV One, 10 p.m. Eastern. We're going to have, of course, Monique. We're going to the encore of my interview with Monique. I did great ratings last week. And so here's another sneak peek of some stuff, the bonus clip for my interview.
So if we don't say, okay, well, what do we do about that? Don't pay me in compliments because I can't go to the market and say, they told you how good I was. Can't you put these groceries in the bag?
I've had that conversation with many folks before, and I said, look, I can't deposit. You did a good job. Again, that's Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on TV One. And so, yeah, you can't deposit. I did a good job. Tracy, you got some kind of birthday thing coming up?
Yes, tonight at the Parks. And the doors open at 5 o'clock. Make sure you're there.
We'll turn
because,
it up.
Yes, honey.
We are okay. I like that wig.
That's right.
And if you wear
a red wig, you get in free. All right.
You know
all
what?
Right,
that's,
folks.
That's why you're wearing blue today. Thank you for representing.
First of all, it's teal. Thank you very much.
Wow. It looks blue from here.
I agree with your colors.
It looks blue from here.
You might come with some teal highlights next time. Tomorrow, News 1 Now. Wendy, Raquel Robinson, Leon from the Five Heartbeats. They're going to be in the house. You know it's going to be crazy. So we look forward to it as well. All right, folks. Y'all have a great one. Holla!
We didn't get to talk about
the kids. The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number 2, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin.